Parak Yud, Mishnah Dalet. Ziv shelefnei chalon. If a person has a ziv in front of his window, ziv is the sill of the window. They explain, blitel shalidei chalon. You have the sill of your window, which goes out from your wall into the ear space of a shisarabim, above the area of ten tvachim from the ground. Could we already explain that the ear space of a shisarabim, from the ground and up to 10 tefachim has the same law, has the same din as the Rosh Hashanah. But above 10 tefachim, either if it's just like in the air, it's a makom patur, it's like an exempt area, or if it's attached to your wall, then it's like your Rosh Hashanah, your private domain. So over here, when you have your sill, coming out of your window, sticking out to the shrabim, and it's above 10 tefachim, so they add over here also that it also has a width of 4 tefachim, so it comes out that that sill is part of your Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah says, "Knows the law of a note to be mended by Shabbos. You can place things on it and take things from it on Shabbos. Even though you might say, hey, inside your house is Rosh Hashanah, the sill is technically in Rosh Hashanah. Since the sill is above 10 tefachim, we deem it part of your house, part of Rosh Hashanah, and you're just going from your house to your house. You're not really going anywhere. It's not like you're really carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's permitted." They say over here, B'nei Oso Bias, the people of that house, that the sill is sticking out into the Rosh Hashanah, as long as it's over 10 tefachim, you could put things on and take things from it, no problem. But they do say that it's only utensils that the derech is that if they fell, they would break. Why? For example, cups or bottles. Because if it does fall into a shirabim, now we're not concerned that you might go there and pick it up and bring it into your home, which would be a Torah prohibition. Because if it fell, it broke. And if it broke, you're just going to leave it there. And also people that are using things that could break will be a lot more careful that it shouldn't fall to begin with. But utensils that, you know, that don't break, and you have a bowl or something, you can't put there, because if it falls down on Shabbos, you might go to the shop and pick it up and carry it into your home, which would be prohibited because you're going from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Next. Omid Adam Rosh Hashanah. A person's actually allowed to stand in a Rosh Hashanah, for example, at his house or in his courtyard. Umitaltel Rosh Hashanah, and he can move things from one area to the next in a Rosh Hashanah. And we're not concerned that he'll carry from the Rosh Hashanah into the Rosh Hashanah. Meaning he's standing in the Rosh Hashanah, and he sticks his hands out into the Rosh Hashanah, and he moves an item from one destination to the next. So we're not concerned that you're going to bring it towards you in the Rosh Hashanah, and actually carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Rather, you could just transport it from one area in the Rosh Hashanah to another, and it's not a problem. And so too, b'shusar abim, without the b'shusar yachid, if you're standing in a public domain, you could like stick your hands in through a window and move a cup from one side of the table to the next. We're not concerned that you're going to bring it towards you and carry it from the b'shusar yachid to the b'shus harabim. Now, the Mishnah does say though that the Gemara does say, they're talking about a case where the utensils that you're moving are things that you don't need, where you're standing. And that's why we're not concerned you'll bring it to you. That's one, requirement. And another requirement is, of course, that you can't move the item, more than 4 amos. Because picture you're standing in the Shashiachid and you're sticking your hands out into Shashirabim. Or the other way around, right? So yes, we're not concerned that you'll bring the item to you as long as you don't need it on Shabbos, right? But also, you can't move it more than Dalat Amos. Because the rule is you can move something technically less than Dalat Amos, but not more. So you can take this, you know, you're standing on the street in the Shrab, and you can stick your hands in the window and move a cup from one side of the table to the other. But not more than Dalat Amos. And the same thing would be the other way around. If you're standing in Shriyachid, you can stick your hands out and do Shrab, and, you know, move something from one place to the other, as long as A, you don't need that item on Shabbos, B, you don't bring it into the Rosh Hashanah, and C, you move it less than Dalat Amos, and that would be fine. And that concludes Mishnah Dalet. Moving right along, Mishnah Hey. Lo Ya'amod Adam Rosh Hashanah, V'yashtin Rosh Hashanah, O, Rosh Hashanah, V'yashtin Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. So a person is not allowed to stand in a private domain, and then Yashtin is to urinate into a public domain, or stand in the public domain in the Rosh Hashanah, and then urinate into Rosh Hashanah, into a private domain on Shabbos. Why not? Because it actually is like being motzi, it's like you're carrying from one Rosh Hashanah to the next. V'chein lo yarok, a person shouldn't spit on Shabbos from Rosh Hashanah into a Shabbos, or from a Shabbos into a Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara explains that a mashtino hayorek, when it was urinating or spitting from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or the other way around, is actually would be chayav achatas if he did it by mistake, and by mezid he'd be chayav misa. It's very serious. V'alfapin, even though a person's not chayev, unless he is motzi, he moves an object from one domain to the next, right? He's got to do the nakira, the uprooting, and then placing it in the other destination. And he's got to do it from an area that has at least 4x4 tefachim. As we learned in the first Mishnah in Shabbos, it's got to move from an area 4x4 tefachim to another area of 4x4 tefachim. Mikol makom, nevertheless, since his machshav, his thought process was, when he was urinating or spitting, was to get this item out of his body and just throw it someplace else. It's ke'ilu, it's as if he's oikar, he removes it from an area 4x4 tefachim into another area 4x4 tefachim, and he would be chayv. So that's the rule. Whenever you're transporting something from one, you know, rishus to the next, the rishuyos have to be, these domains have to be at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So from 1 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim rishus yachid to a 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim rishus rabim. That's a general rule. Here, it's just, you know, something so small. So maybe you say you don't have that rule here and you should be exempt. So Kamash Malan is telling you that no, we make it ke'ilu, we make it as if that's what your intention was, and therefore won't be liable. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, even mishenitlash ruka bepiv, if you have like some phlegm in your mouth and you're getting ready to spit, but you haven't spit it out yet. Lo yahalich dal ramos, you cannot walk dal ramos now in a rishus rabim, ad shiyarok, until you actually, you know, spit it out. Why? Because since the spit, this phlegm, is standing in your mouth and your whole intention is to get rid of it, so we look at it as like a masa, as like a load, like you're carrying something. You can't carry it dal ramos in rishus rabim. So just spit it on the floor near you, so it doesn't travel rishus rabim. It's not like you're spitting it into the rishus yachad. You're not traveling domains. You're keeping it in your same rishus. But just spit it on the floor and then start walking. Because if you walk dal ramos with this in your mouth, it's as if you're carrying and you can't carry on Shabbos. So that's the principle. That wraps up Mishnah Hay, and that's our two Mishnahs for today.